our hearts and our minds, and that we will allow you to come in, and we will allow you to continue to teach us as we gather around your word tonight. Father, may you teach us well. May we learn well. And God, may you be glorified and honored because of it. We just thank you and we praise you in your son's name. Amen. All right, appreciate that. Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. We are looking at a text. We're jumping back into it, actually. We've been going through the book of Romans now for a while. And I enjoy going through the books of the Bible like this, going slowly through them and understanding them. But before we jump into verse 1 of chapter 13, I want to give a real quick little review. Because in that the realm of that, when we ended chapter 12, we also realized that Paul was teaching that we are not to take revenge, period. And the more we live in a world that's going crazy in a fast pace, it's becoming, to me, very more difficult to understand what that chapter means. Because there is a lot of unfairness in our world today. There's a lot of things that are being rammed down our throat. There's a lot of things that we are told we have to be a part of, we have to agree to. A lot of things going on that it depends on where you may be and who you may be. That some laws and restrictions count for you and others it doesn't count for. And so we're really living in a world that the truth of the Word of God is not supposed to be easy to live. And so comes the persecution. So comes the trials and the tribulations. And I really do think that God is allowing us, by his ultimate plan, he's not causing any of this. He's not instituting any of this. But he is allowing his hand of grace and mercy to slowly be removed a little bit so that we're experiencing things in our world that really tests our truth of what we believe. Because anybody can speak the words, how great is our God. But it's very difficult to live them. And it's very hard every day when you face the unfairness, when you face the people to simply say, well, man, I can't avenge you. And again, we're still looking for that verse, the righteous beating, haven't found it yet. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not even in the Bible. But my mom and dad used it all the time until I got old enough to realize that's not in the Bible. Don't spare the rod, but to spoil the child's not with it. So as we look at the Word of God tonight, we need to realize that what Paul is teaching, do you think Rome was any different? Somehow we as Christians have got on this comfort plateau. And we think that we're going to just ease our way to the rapture. And I want to tell you, there are too many Christians hiding behind the skirts of the rapture. Because why do we or why should we think we're going to get out any easier than the first church? Listen, for them to share their faith, for them to do what Paul's asking them to do, it meant a whole lot more sacrifice on their lives than what it is in our lives today. So be careful, be watching, be weary, because I'm telling you, there are a lot of things coming down our pike. In the last 2 or 3 years, could you imagine we are where we are today? In just a short order. It's a very short time. And so saying all that, you got to understand that he is the one that gives the vengeance. It is not ours to give. And we see that as we studied through the end of chapter 12 several weeks ago. And so when we understand that it is not ours, It is God's to be able to avenge. It is God. And I love when we studied through Peter when God said that he is holding the day. He is holding that day when he is going to make everything right. And I'm going to tell you what, on that day, I am so glad I'm on the winning side. Because I have a lot of things to answer for. And I'm sure all of you have a lot of things to answer for. Because, listen, none of us are going to get out of this world perfect. And so when we stand before God and we look to that holy God, the instruction of Scripture says, here's what you need to be doing in the process. So in order for us to go into chapter 13, because in chapter 13, we are to have a relationship with the authority that's been placed over us. We need to listen to our government. We need to listen to the people in authority over us. And so I knew when I made that statement, you're all going to say, that ain't happening. Why? What has changed about the position of the authority? Nothing. The men in position have changed, but the position hasn't changed. And so we need to understand this coming from the eyes of God. And we're going to understand it, hopefully, for as Paul shares, listen, in the Rome at that point in time, you had all kind of issues going on. Rome was the imperial capital of the region of that time. And the residents in Rome, basically the initial readers, were aware of both the glory and shame of the city of that day of Nero and the reigning from 54 AD. So and Nero was not a nice guy. In fact, when it comes to Christians, he persecuted them beyond understanding. So when Paul says to this group of people, you need to listen to the authority, we have nothing compared to what they went through. We have it easy compared to what they were going through. So we can't look at our world now the way it is. We can't look at the things out there and say, well, I don't agree with what they're doing. They're doing this. They're taking away this. They're trying to do this. They're trying to implement this. They're trying to teach our kids all kind of crazy things. They're trying to, I don't have to listen to them. Well, God may have something different in it, because the goal is for you and I to be able to discern when the line is drawn between obeying man and obeying God. Because I believe more in my life today, more so than any time, that line is going to need to be drawn. So let's get into the study. So we get into chapter 13, verse 1. Again, Paul was addressing them again with this relationship. We studied and talked about the relationships going through all the chapter 11 and 12. As he had the practical living in verse 12, how do we get along with the people around us? How do we get along with unsaved? How do we get along with the Christians? Now, how do we get along with the higher power? Verse 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are to be ordained of God. That verse is one that we need to understand, because what Paul is saying is that everyone must be submit themselves to the governing authorities, not because of who sits in the chair, but because God built the chair. God placed the chair. God built the establishment of authority. And so he's saying, as he goes down, as we read this, it's very important because he established it. The basic reason for such submission is that the authorities are established by God. You and I, we don't have to agree with who's sitting in the chair, but we do have to submit to the authority that the chair brings. And listen, we I say this very carefully. I won't say we, because that includes you in my thought process. That might not be fair. I believe we're living in a world where the respect of authority is gone. All levels. And yet we as Christians do the same thing when we go and look at our government and we dish the respect of the authority of our government because of the position that God has given. So we're no better than those who disrespect authority. Just because we don't like the person, we have allowed that to turn over into disrespect of the position. And listen, y'all know me, and I'm not in favor of anything that this new administration is putting out. But that doesn't mean the position is still not in there by God. So we need to make that distinction, because I think we've clouded this up. We've just because of what they're saying, we are at times acting disrespectful towards the authority position. So that being said, trying to decipher between that, Paul says, because we are to submit to it, because it's in a governing authority that has been established by God. As we says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained or are given, are set up, are in place and established by God. Well, did they have a government back in the Old Testament? Did they have a government like we have? Well, I want to go all the way back into the point to where the nation of Israel demanded from God a king like every other nation. And God said, listen, okay. Isn't it great how God gives us our way and sits back and watches us drowned in it? Because God says, until you realize how much you need me, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out in time. So in this authority, God is simply saying he made these powers, he has these powers, they're ordained by God, but the Israel wanted a king like all the nations, and they got the king. But if you go back and read the text, it says that they also got all the wars. They also got all the things that came with it. And I'm convinced everything that God has created, as soon as man takes it over, we destroy it. We mess it up. It started from the Garden of Eden, and it'll continue on until we're all home in eternity. Man thinks they can run it. So our government is not run, or God did not. I can't take it to verse and said we're supposed to have a president and a vice president and a Congress and a Senate. I can't take it to that verse. But I know that God has established authority over us. Paul says that it's the law, and we studied this in the early part of Romans. It's the law that shows me how wrong I am and that I need a God. It's the law gives me the sin in 1 Corinthians 15. It says it's the law of death is sin. And so we only know that we sin, why? Because we disobey the law. God's law, man's law, we disobey it. So it's put there for a purpose. And Paul says in verse 1 that we need to respect it, submit to it, simply because God has ordained it. So that only then makes sense. He says in verse 2, Wherefore, resist the power, resist the ordinance of God, and that they resist shall receive of themselves damnation. Which is interesting. Basically, this Greek word there, damnation, simply means a sentence to punishment. So what Paul, I can't imagine what the readers of Rome were thinking at this point. Because of what they were going through, the sacrifices, the punishment, the persecution, everything that was going on, if you were labeled a Christian in that era, and all the fear you had of what man was already doing, we have no fear of what man can do to us, do we? At least we shouldn't. What has man done to you because you love Christ? Slammed the door in your nose? Oh my. That may leave a mark. Really? These people were being put on stakes, burned as light poles to guide Nero's way home. We have not suffered for the cause of Christ in America. None. Well, yeah, but they're taking away. No, scratch it. We have not suffered for the cause of Christ. Nothing. We have no, we can't even be in the same church as these people in Rome right now. And Paul says, listen, God established it. If you want to be a Christ follower, you want to be somebody of God following God, you need to follow God's ways. And this is part of it. So it's very important because I think we're going into this. I've always understood and believed that we're going a full circle. I believe before we get out of here, unless God calls us home by a Mack truck or what other way you're going to go, I think we as a church are going to go back to the way it was in the first church. I really believe we're going to go back full cycle. I think we're going to go back and we're going to suffer some things. God's going to weed out those who really believe and live like they believe. And he's going to weed out those who only sit in the pews because it's a social thing or I'm supposed to, and those who have just a head knowledge and not a heart. And I think God's going to allow that. He allows that simply because it's his plan. We can't figure it out. We can't understand it. Listen, you don't have to like what God does. You have to accept it because he's God. And so that goes through all of our life. But that's why verse 2 is so important, because if you resist the ordination or you resist the position, you resist what God has established, what are you really resisting? You're not resisting the administration that's sitting in the White House. You're resisting the God that has established it. Do you really think that those people making the decisions that you and I don't agree with today, do you really think they're not going to pay to God for the decisions they make? And yet you think you're going to make them pay? Well, that's chapter 12, remember? Chapter 12 says, no, you're not the one that gets the vengeance. You're not the one that is allowed to do that. God will do it. And so that being said, and again, this is very, very touchy as we go through all this, because there are many things that we need to stand up to, and hopefully we'll get that figured out as we get a little bit further down through here. So when we look at this, and again, and go down to verse 3, and it says, "For the rulers are not a terror to the good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good." So what's it saying? What's it saying? Rulers are not a terror to good works. Why should we expect anything better from them? They're not part of the good works. They're part of the evil. And so we're living in a day and age where those things are going to be a step. Those things are going to happen. Listen, we don't have to agree with all of them. But one verse that we need, and this is where we're going to draw a line. Rodney, you had a question or a statement? I hope you don't have a sermon. We don't have time. Well, that's just not, that's America. That's just not, well, yeah, I agree. They did the same thing in Canaan. They did the same thing in Israel. Well, when it comes to the rebelling the authority, or what God is saying again here, that we need to understand that this terror, they're not a terror to what God is doing, to what God is, the good work, again, Romans 8:28, God's working the good, okay? They're not a terror to the good work of the end of God. There's a lot of things in between there that we don't agree with. They're doing a lot of things against. But God's going to deal with that. God's going to deal with every doctor that performs them. God's going to do, I mean, I don't think our minds can fathom that day that God is holding, that he's going to make it right. I can't even imagine what that's going to look like. Sure. Well, so are we. Every time we tell God I can't, every time we tell God something different, every time we don't listen to God in our own life, are we not the same? Why does it only fit for the government? And that's what I'm saying. I think Paul's coming down to it's about the establishment that we submit to. It's about the authority that God has structured. Because if you don't submit to the authority that God has structured, and I'm really going to have a jail ministry after this one. Kim and I keep talking about it, my jail ministry I'm going to get. But when you have a world that has usurped man's authority, you have a world that is run by women. You have a world that is not going to be run according to God. That's the most political way I can say that. And I'm not ditching the women. Behind every good man, there's a better woman. There's no doubt in my mind. Us men would never be anything without the help, support, and mate that God has given us. But it's the authoritative structure. God did the same thing with government. It's the authoritative structure. When we don't submit to the structure, then we are not submitting to God. And I think that's what Paul's trying to get across. So that we have avenues, we have things that we can do. But the line then, if you turn back in your Bible to Acts chapter 5, we're gonna try to put the line out there. So when do we say, you know what? God has established it. And I, like I said, man has destroyed everything good that God has given him. And so where is the line then? How do we know that we can just say, okay, God, I know you established this system, but this system now is asking me to do things that I feel go against you. See, that's the line. That's what we need to understand. So in Acts chapter 5, looking at verse 29, because here we find the apostles are arrested in verse 17. The high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Why? Because they were preaching Christ. They weren't breaking any rules. They were preaching Christ. And it was the religious leaders that put him in prison. It wasn't the government. It was the religious leaders. So verse 29 says, then Peter, because they were told, verse 28 saying, did we not strictly command that ye should not teach in this name? This name would be the name of Jesus Christ. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand and to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses of these, and so it is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You see, the line was drawn in the apostles' mind and heart when they were told they could not do exactly what God told them to do. That's the line. So when has the government told you you cannot do something God has told you to do? You need to think about that. There's a lot of blah, blah, blah out there. There's a lot of threats out there. There's a lot of things that we are saying you need to be tolerant of out there. Is the government opening the pulpit up to certain individuals that have no business preaching from it? Is the government doing that, or is it the church? We're no better than the Sadducees and the Pharisees, are we? See, we need to really rethink our thought process, because we're going to end up resisting the position and we're going to end up resisting God's plan. I don't agree with that stuff, but we need to dice it down in a way where we simply say, who is doing these things? I mean, I'm not afraid to stand up and tell anybody what the scripture says about unions, about marriage, about man and women, about this is how God has established it. Now, if somebody would walk in that door and they would simply say, we are from the government and you are not allowed to say that, then I would go to Acts chapter 5 and say, but God says I can. Then I get my jail ministry. And I really hope y'all come visit me. But what I'm saying is we're giving the government too much credit for what we are allowing to happen. We're shunning the responsibility of standing up in the churches and standing up and saying, listen, you can't do that. The government didn't put them there. We allowed them there. Well, we would never allow them in our church. They're representing the kingdom. Why are you allowing that? See, we're caught up in a little circle. We're caught up in a little address. Caught up in a little church. It's not about this brick and mortar. It's about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is being represented by the things that God would not allow. So what have we done about it? Shut our doors, not let them into our church. And done nothing about the kingdom of God. Man, we need to be careful. Because listen, this is much bigger than us. It's much bigger than our little circle of ministry. Much bigger than our little circle of, as long as they're not here, we're okay. That mentality has put America where we are today, in a mess. Because everybody worried about their own little deal. And nobody began to see the slow boil of humanity falling apart. See, this submit to the authority. How many of you do the speed limit every time you drive? If you do that, then I will allow you to argue with me. Until you do that, we're all on the same page. Because it's man's, we just do. But we pick and choose, don't we? We pick and choose what you cannot do. You can't say you're not. But we got to understand the whole system. And we need to stand up and we need to talk a little bit about it. We need to stand up and be a little bit more bold about it. Because I think that's what Paul's getting at. It's not that you have to agree with the government doing. You think they agreed with what Rome was doing? Obviously in Acts, they were told not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't the government. It was the religious leaders. How do you think, again, you go back, we just come off the Easter season. Go back and read what the soldiers did. When the soldiers went back to the religious leaders and said the stone was rolled, they concocted a lie. And the religious leaders paid them to lie to the government so that the soldiers wouldn't die. It wasn't the government that did that. Pilate, he had the right, but Pilate was being used by God because Christ needed to die for you and me. But listen, we got to really rethink this whole thing, because more we blame somebody else for us not taking a stand, we're going to fall with the rest of them. And I think that's what's happening in America. That's what's happening in Christendom. We're not standing when we need to stand. We need to realize, yes, there is a line. And when someone comes through and says, you cannot do that because, and I know that God says, yes, I can, then that line is drawn for me. And I will say, I will follow what God has done. And I think that's the important thing in our own lives. And you're going to have to understand, you're going to have to figure out where your line is. You have to figure out where that line is for each and every one of you. Because it's not going to be like a whole thing, you know. It's not going to be one statement legislated out that you're no longer allowed. I mean, I don't know how many, several times we've been red flagged on live stream, I think. They just don't like what I say. So we're red flagged. I don't care. Let them red flag. Because we have to get out of our cushions. We have to get out of our comfort ministries. We have to get out of our padded pews. Ministry should not be easy. It should not be comfortable. It should not be something that you're going to get rich in this world. It's not something that is going to elevate you in any way. Ministry is something that's going to be hard and difficult, and you're going to find the strength only in the presence of God. Read that this morning in the funeral service. Zephaniah 3:17. It's in the presence of God we get our strength. It's in His presence we get our joy. When you get that, you go out into ministry, you're going to get knocked down. Why? Because it goes against everything this world has to offer. Problem is, we're too comfortable in this world. Christians need to wake up, because if we don't wake up on our own, God has a way of waking us up. And He's going to wake us up. I truly believe He's going to wake us up. So we cannot hide behind the skirts of the rapture. Do I believe the rapture is going to happen? Absolutely. Do I believe I'm going to be in it? Well, I only hope that I know I'll be there if I'm living while I'm there, okay? I can't guarantee I'm in the rapture because I can't guarantee my next breath. But I know that until then, this world is not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. Temptations are going to get harder. It's going to be more difficult to make a stand because more people are going against. And if you want any kind of absolute nerve-pinching, hitting frustration, watch what some of the local courts are doing about our school systems. Watch them talk. Watch them fight among the school boards. And the school board saying, you as parents have no right to know anything we do with your kids.
Really?
Listen, it's happening all over our world. We need to really look up. Don't look down at our little world. Look up. Because things are happening all around us. And Paul says, listen, there's an authority structure. You need to be submitted to the authority structure. But I think right now our authority structure that God established is so far in the dark that now we need to know when to draw the line. And we need to be able to draw the line. One last thing, drawing that line, you need to have a very strong relationship with Christ when you draw that line. Because it's going to hurt. It's really going to hurt. And that means you're going to sacrifice. That means you may have to give a life. I don't think we're willing to do that. I don't know too many Christians willing to do that today. Not in our cushioned pews. Not in our comfort zones of church. We really need to understand. And listen, this isn't a doomsday study, okay? Sounds like one, though. But this is a reality check. Because we are living in the days where, listen, God's grace, God's saving grace, God's sustaining grace, and God gives a dying grace. Those three graces are what establish the kingdom. We're living in a sustaining grace right now. And that sustaining grace, the only reason why you and I can even stand and still be strong in the word of God is by the grace and strength he gives us. Because you're not going to do it on your own. You got to build the relationship up with him. You have to build that relationship with God stronger. Well, I've been going to church all my life. I'm a strong Christian. No, you're not. Coming to church don't do a thing for you. You don't build a personal relationship with Christ and build on it. You know, fold like a napkin like the rest of the Christian world is doing. We need to have that relationship. It's got to be more than just social, more than just what we always may have done. Listen, ministry's changing. Ministry's changing a lot. And we need to be open to knowing, because I believe it's going to go back to one message and one message only, and that's Jesus Christ. Because that's the message that stirs the pot. That's the message that gets them all fired up. And so in that, a lot said for that little bit, but we need to realize that we are living in a day and age where what God has established is definitely going to be seen differently in our world. When we go through, we're going to jump into next week. We're going to get into more of this concept of being a servant, a minister of God for the good. That's what God has. That's what he says in verse 4. We're to be the minister of the good. If we jump on board and we don't agree with and we begin to do everything against them as everybody else is doing, who's going to do the good? How are they going to see a difference? So there's a lot of things in this, impact in this, that I think is coming down our way. So hopefully we get a little understanding of drawing our lines in our lives. You got to build a relationship with Christ. Jim? Just take that illustration. When did it start being okay for anyone to work on Sunday? Where was the church when that all come down? Y'all go out to eat on Sunday? You sinners. You're causing somebody to work on a Sunday. Listen, I'm being very advocate here, okay? Because we need to get a better paradigm shift in our minds about what's going on around us. And how much we are responsible for what's going on around us. Because we need to be the ministers of good. That's exactly what verse 4 says. He is the minister of God. The leader is the minister of good. So, you know, if our leaders aren't doing it, then we need to do it. We need to be the minister of good. And so it all comes together. It all comes back. So you got to come back next week and get the remainder of it. But we need to get into our prayer time together tonight. But I'm just a little fired up about it because every day I visit people and see people on their deathbed. And today was a good day because nobody died. Yesterday there were two. And every day I'm dealing with families. Every day I'm dealing with people. Had a sweet, sweet visit with an individual. 7 years of battling cancer. Cancer was finally going to win. And she's a Christian. She just loves her God. And she says, I just don't want to die. My only thing that I ask of you is to help me get out to my home so I can die at home, not at the hospital. That's all she wants. What do you guys want today? What are you guys fighting for today? She just wants to go home and die on the couch. Listen, when you're around that every day, you get a better perspective of how spoiled we are in life. We are spoiled in life. Got to get a perspective. Paradigm shift. We need to really focus on ministry, focus on what God has for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. And again, we thank you, God, for all that you do in us and through us. And Father, we can get encouraged and excited about this because we realize and we know that we've read the last chapter. We win and we're on your team. And Lord, it's going to get hard. And for us to be able to stand true and to stand firm in those days where we have decisions to make. God, all of us make poor decisions. All of us have a hard time staying in the right of what we know to be true. God, I pray that for everyone here tonight just has that strength and have that ability, Lord, that we build our relationship with you stronger every day so that when those times come, that we know the truth, that we know where the line needs to be drawn, and we have the strength to draw it and the strength to stand on it. And God, I pray that we will continue to just in our own personal, private lives, draw closer to you. God, we just thank you and we praise you in your son's name. Amen. Alrighty.